Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Wee-oo. That's just what we do. My voice almost died on me there. Each episode, we invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
Whoop.
Hello, lover.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
This top is great.
Thanks.
Feels great.
It's a sweater because it's cold.
Cold sweaters.
You know what else
sweater is? Cows.
Possibly cold, possibly warm. You know this bassist. He played on the Miseducation of Lauren. Yeah. Played on the Miseducation of Lauren Hill.
What a fucking album that was.
I love that album.
He's also a member and co-songwriter for the rock band Taking Back Sunday. And?
Yes, he is. And he is touring with the All-American Rejects. You've seen him on Fallon, Kimmel.
All over the fucking world, really. It's Matt Rubano.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
I sound like... pretty cool with
you're
that
really accomplished.
That sounds, yeah. I haven't done anything lately, really. I've been sitting around lately. But...
No, that's a very impressive bio.
We fluffed you up nicely.
Yeah, totally. Along with this, with the R&B groove behind me.
So we like to wine and dine, folks.
Yeah.
But I think I just did a little too much of that because I dumped some scotch all over
the smell of scotch is in the air.
Yeah, totally.
Which is great.
For our listeners, I just poured a bunch of scotch
moments
everywhere.
Before we started recording scotch.
And I'm now resting my arms in the puddle, ghost of the puddle.
It'll soak into your skin.
I think you caught it right before went off the table and referred to your hands as a scotch dam.
Yeah.
Which I'm now going to start saying instead of goddamn, always. Scotch dam.
Or dental dam.
Or dental.
Which you can skip. Entirely.
Children,
has anyone ever? Okay, wait. Let's just get right to it. What does a dental dam look like? Where do you get it? And has anyone ever used one?
I imagine it. No, not used it. But as like you know, the toilet seat covers.
Sure.
Where I think you like push that part through. That's like the hole.
Okay.
As like that's the vaginal canal, so it protects around.
Oh. So if your vaginal canal looks a lot like a toilet, you're in great shape.
No, I mean it's a lot smaller.
True. But
I don't appreciate your tone.
Yeah, I've seen working at selling sex toys and sex sex shop work environment. I've seen the dental dam. I've never used it, but I've seen it, and it is kind of like a. You like put it in and there's a sticky side that kind of plants on
the
thigh because it goes a little on the outside and then you can kind of peel it away. I'm trying to think of those things. It's like you'd see them at Staples. Kids use Staples for all your dental dam needs. But it's like you put it on and then you peel it and there's like a portion of it stays like around the labia and then on the inside. But it's supposed to be so thin and adhesive to the vagina that it's almost like there's nothing there.
I'm so turned off just hearing that if I had to go through all that, I would just be like, babe, let's just go to sleep.
Well, it's really fucked up because condom is its own word, but dental dam just sounds heinous. Why can't it be like a condette?
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Whoa.
Hey, heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. You need a rebranding is what you need.
Totally copyright it.
So we asked you what you would like to drink, and I loved your response because you said if we're drinking, just maybe a scotch.
Yeah.
But or a coffee, I'm cool with coffee. Yeah. So that's all we needed to grab a scotch. From
I didn't want to be the guy to be like, well, if we're gonna really drink, but I figured you were asking the way you phrased it, it sounded like we were having drinks.
For sure. We love to have drinks.
Good.
So we got our friend Julia Nathan, who's
hey,
a delightful
Julia.
Young lady, was in Scotland recently and brought us back this Douglas. It's a 9-year aged scotch straight from the motherland.
Let's toast to Julia.
Mm. To Julia.
Thank you, Julia. Fantastic.
Thank you, Julia.
Hola.
Let me get a...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so nice. Mm. Smoky.
The beginning of my even like enjoyment of scotch was also from going to Scotland on tours. And there was this one particular promoter in Glasgow who would... After he was like this the hardest looking motherfucker you ever saw, like tattooed from like his cuticles to the tip of his nose and shaved head and just like gnarly, like a real Scottish brawler looking guy. But he was the sweetest fella. And he would give at the end of every show, he would give us each like a real, like an old Glenfiddich or something, like an 18-year-old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would go home. This happened on tour, like sometimes where like you'd accumulate like gifts or like odd like items, and then you just put them in your suitcase, whether you were interested in them or not. It was like proof you had been somewhere.
Yep.
And you were like,
fans.
I'm out here. I'm missing the rest of my life. I'm going to bring some stuff home. And I would come home with all these scotches, and I had like 4 or 5 of them sitting on the top of my fridge for years before I ever even decided to try them. My brother came over one night, and we smoked cigars, and we went through like pretty much a whole bottle of like a 15-year-old scotch.
And scotch then
I was
and like, cigars. I really love scotch. I didn't know I liked scotch so much.
That was the beginning of it.
It's that emotional attachment when you're a little loose that you start loving. Yeah, and cigars and scotch is such a great combo.
Yeah.
So yeah. Another great thing is the bass.
Mm.
That's your instrument of choice, right?
It is.
And I tried to play bass for a little while
because
I thought it was the coolest, sexiest thing.
Yeah.
I took like 2 lessons and I just didn't have time.
When? Recently?
No, it was a couple of years ago. My friend Sarah Register is in a band called Talk Normal, which is a Brooklyn-based noise band. And she taught me to play a few songs on the bass.
Yeah, Talk Normal's a great band,
too. Well, it's a Laurie Anderson album.
Oh, cool.
They're, like, big fans of her. Uh-huh. Anywho, I tried to play the bass.
Electric bass?
I thought it was sexy as fuck. Yeah. Exactly.
It is. I think it. I mean, I've always referred to it as the fuck instrument because I feel, I mean,
He's always saying that.
I just can't stop saying this. Yeah.
Yeah.
In very inappropriate
situations. Yeah, let's go on with this.
But I think it's because the bass line is what always gets up into your loins, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, drums, I like you got, you know, animal
drums.
On the drums. You need...
It reverberates into your, like, body.
And I love...
body.
And it's, yeah, and it's because it can also... I think the versatility is a fucking instrument. Because a good guitar lick is sexy, for sure. But I think with the bass, you go from... You go from a funky kind of 70s, like, real sexy groove.
Uh-huh.
But then you can also do kind of a slow... like a jazzy, like a Mark Sandman, you know, maybe some morphine. Like you get into that, and you're just like, slow it down a little.
The two things, like when the first time I held an electric bass and plucked the E string, the feeling on my stomach, because I was young, I was like 15. The like warmth and the reverberation on my stomach, I was like this forever. And then similarly, when you plug it into an amp and you realize you can shake a building, your house, your mom's basement, you're like, this thing is the jam. And then it also, like you were just saying, across genres, across all musical genres, the bass more than any other instrument. Certainly, it applies to other instruments, but the bass more than any other instrument really. Stylistically defines each genre. How you play a reggae bass line, a funk bass line, a rock bass line, jazz. They're all, like, it essentially flows from there.
Yeah.
So I really responded to that when I started playing, and I was like, this is, and it made me be interested in all different kinds of music, too. So,
what do you think the least sexiest instrument is?
I think it's probably in the chamber orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
even though, as a whole, the chamber orchestra is like amazing.
But if you plucked one,
the bassoon is the worst sound alone.
That's a boner killer.
Yeah, and it also, like, those people that play those instruments professionally have, like, their bodies, like, suffer. Because they're always, like, blowing, like, oboists, and I think bassoon is a double reed. I don't know. Their necks are always, like.
Like the frog neck.
Yeah, they have that thing.
That bullfrog,
which
no one wants to fuck.
No, nobody's looking at your big neck goiter like, man.
That's hot.
It's probably one of those.
I think stringed, because I feel like stringed.
The triangle.
Stringed instruments. The triangles.
I don't know, though. You ever hear like 70s funk triangles? Like, the cop chase triangle. Yeah. That's what that sound is.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Who plays that?
I like stringed instruments that, because there's also a level of being deft, is that what I'm thinking, with the fingers?
Mm-hmm.
Just like that work on strings.
Looked like you were just playing a harp.
I was a harpist. Harpists are the sexiest to me.
I lied about the bass.
It's the harp. No, it is. It's gorgeous. And there's a lot of strings. And there's a lot of tickling. I think if you can show that you can professionally fiddle.
Yeah.
Then you're okay in my book.
Yeah. Music is magic.
Who's that wonderful harpist? I'm blanking on her name.
I always say Yo-Yo Ma, who's a cellist.
He's a cellist.
Harpist.
No, she's like modern. She has that song that's like Sadie and that great like high-pitched, great voice.
I don't know. I feel like I should know.
Without knowing. I've seen her live and I just am totally blanking. But it's very sexy and like a more like the beauty leads to the sex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Angelic
you're not like
sexiness.
Washing and you're like, fuck down.
Yeah.
But it's pretty hot. Nice. I think being good at anything is just sexy. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's true. I'm thinking about people that are good at things. You know who are good at things? Doctors. Doctors are good at things.
Yeah, they are.
And I can't stop shoehorning segues. Terrible. At anywho, let's talk about a little sexy science.
That was
rather a listener love. Sexy science.
No, it's sexy.
There it is.
Jesus.
Taylor
Christ.
Moore.
I dumped scotch directly onto Taylor Moore.
Into his gullet.
There's so much gin in this drink.
Oh, yes. Oh, loose we go. Studio.
Yeah,
so...
you look like you got a sunburn working.
It's just
rosy.
A little rosy glow. That gin just touched him up. All right, so here we have we rip articles from the headlines. We love science. We love sex. We like to combine those things. This comes from the Examiner. This is man has missing penis rebuilt with skin from his arm. Mm. Now this is not necessarily brand new because this has happened. This is a technology that existed, which I think is fascinating that you're able to do this. So what happened here specifically was that this gentleman named Muhammad Abad, when he was 6 years old. He was in a horrific accident where a speeding car. Yeah. Anything you lose your genitals is horrific. He was dragged under a car for 600 feet. And
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Why am I laughing?
I know, because it's so
too
ludicrous.
Awful. Scotch, it's too
yeah.
awful.
Yeah. And he had his penis ripped off and lost one of his testicles, which was some of the damages. And then after, surviving, which is incredible, doctors were able to remove some skin from his arm and leg, and they created a tube that could be inserted into his bladder. This is when he was a kid, just so that he could urinate.
Sure, sure.
But then he went through the rest of his life with just a hole that he was able to urinate out of.
Dickless.
Dickless. And then, this is what I find hilarious, he then, when he was 40 years old, grew up his whole life without a dick, and his parents never really told him... Like, apparently his parents were not supportive of this and didn't really give him any information. So he just kind of went through his whole life just being like, I just have no dick, so I don't know how to deal with it.
Wow.
Meets a lady when he's 40 years old and then contacts the UK television show Embarrassing Bodies, who put him in contact with medical experts, and then they were able to perform
the surgery. So it came later.
It came later.
Which actually it had to, because obviously the technology had to catch up. But that's
right.
Interesting.
Yeah. He went through life dickless, and at 40 years old was able to... Can you believe
they can build a dick now out of your arm?
I know. I mean,
that's shocking.
Yes, I can. I can believe it. I'm wondering if the nerve ending situation is...
Penis pump. But he can't actually get...
He can't feel... Does he feel...
No. But what they found when they did this surgery is apparently they found his one testicle is still under this Volvo somewhere. But his other testicle was up inside of him. So they, while they were doing the surgery...
Like undescended
found,
or it went up?
It went up.
Okay.
It was dragged up 600
feet.
It was
like, fuck no.
Yeah. The testicle said no.
Yeah.
But then went up, and then they found it, and they're now doing some surgeries that they think there could actually still be some sperm in there.
Oh,
so this
good.
Man who just assumed
it's
his whole life...
It's a functioning testicle.
Yeah.
And so for the penis itself, which I've seen these skin graft penises...
What do they look like?
I imagine like a yam.
Yam.
Like a
yeah.
fucked up
like
yam.
Like a yam in sausage casing.
Yeah.
Wrapped to a...
Delicious.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, it's the holidays.
It's fucked up that they call that surviving the axe. That's like bare... That's there got to be another word than surviving for when you go through that.
Yeah, there's got to be something else other than survival.
Well, is it a big dick?
Well, I would say
if you're choosing your dick,
you got to go big. You tell those doctors, take one of my arms. I'd rather have one arm.
He's got a dick like a forearm.
We can rebuild it.
We can. You just bring in a photo of Peter North and you're like, yeah. Give me this. I mean, that's so. Yeah.
What would you guys do if you had your, as men, if you had your penis ripped off, like,
from that age, from 6 years
yeah.
old?
Yeah. See, I think I would, and this is so easy to say as someone who has a dick that wasn't ripped off.
Bragging.
Yeah.
Big time.
I also have a dick, all right?
We got two dicks in the room. Taylor Moore, do we have a third?
He's sleeping.
Can I get a third dick up in here? You guys. I have a tiny little clit dick.
Just a little clit dick.
If my clit got ripped off, I don't know what I'd do.
Well, you'd take a little bit of your leg and arm. But no, I think I would rather try to associate. I would rather be the eunuch. I think I would like make that my own. Because the idea of this rebuilt penis. Like I said, I've seen photos. Maybe they're just crude early, just post-surgery photos.
Sure.
But they don't look great. And the idea is you just are able to pump up the penis. You don't actually have...
Pump up the jam.
Pump it up.
Pump up the wang.
So they don't really get the full effect of the penis. And I guess it's just...
Can he ejaculate? I mean, he can...
That's, I think, the third and final surgery they're talking about
here. So he wants to procreate.
He wants to procreate.
He doesn't want
is
to
the
fuck.
Idea. No. Exactly. Yeah, because you're not really ever going to normally fuck. That's why I'm saying I'd rather than the...
Well, yeah. Is it better to be like a bad version of what you want to be or to be something else entirely? Like if you're saying you'd go the eunuch route, that's interesting.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm inclined inclined to agree with you.
Yes.
Because I think there's more room for you to become like a nightlife icon.
Yes.
If you really embrace it.
Like a off-strip
Hedwig.
Vegas act.
Yeah. Or like a Amanda Lepore kind of friend. Like you could be in her crew and go out with her and be like, what's his deal? He's the eunuch.
But like Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Sure.
Like that kind of thing. Like, but celebrating like something botched. Yeah. You know, celebrating something different
That's the Eastern way to handle it. That's the Zen way to be like, hey, fucking Volvo took my dick.
I also just wildly speculate on the model of the car.
Totally.
It feels like a Volvo would rip
Volvos
your dick off.
Guys, Volvos are dangerous.
They're boxy
they'll rip
and
your
they'll
dick
rip
off.
Your dick off.
Ah, hell.
Taylor, eunuch or arm dick?
Taylor's going arm dick.
He does have some real thick forearms.
He does. I could see somebody sucking off that forearm.
Nice.
Anywho. well, you know, so... Hopefully this man is helped by these doctors. And also people come up to us and they want to be helped big time. They grab us on the street.
Help me.
They email us. They tweet at us. Mm-hmm. And they have problems of their own. So hopefully we can have Matt Rubano help us out and give them some advice.
Mm-hmm. I would love to.
So this first question for listener love.
Listener mailbag.
After listener love premature ejaculated earlier, it's back and better than ever.
Our first question comes to us from Kendall in Buffalo, New York, via our Facebook page. Kendall asks, my boyfriend just told me he's bisexual. I'm nervous this is just one stop away from Gaytown, USA. Should I be worried?
Wow.
Wow, Kendall.
Yikes. I've heard that, though.
Yeah.
Is it true? I definitely believe in bisexuality.
As the old spectrum thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's one step. I think that some people are just very comfortable saying all things sexual attract me. I can be into one thing or another thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But do you think there would be someone who maybe has always identified a certain way and is scared to come out as something else that would kind of like pick a grayer area?
Yeah, there's every gradual permutation of inclination. Wow, that's a string of big words.
I felt good about it.
Are you a scientist? That was amazing.
I also have a penis in here.
Ooh, bragging. Whoa,
yeah, bragging again. But like there is, right? Like you don't every way of coming out and discovering things is out there.
Yeah.
You're not just one, you know what I mean? Like
absolutely.
So maybe Kendall, you're just going to have to, if you love him, you set him free.
Yeah.
And let him experience.
If he comes back home.
If he comes back to you.
Then it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in a monogamous relationship with this man, it doesn't really matter what his sexual inclinations are.
I think at the heart of this is there's an insecurity too. And I think where that comes from is if you're an insecure person, I think you might feel, now I have to worry when he goes out with his guy friends and his girl. There's no, you know, guys' night out now becomes a possible suck and fuck session.
Infidelity now is omnipresent.
Exactly. There's no safe zone unless he's going out with a eunuch.
Wait, Kendall, build a little cage in the basement.
Oh,
totally.
Trap your boyfriend. I mean, I don't know. I always know, like, this spectrum question always does come up. And I feel like I've seen gay porn. It's never excited me on any level. So I don't know if I think that there would be some situation where I might be able to get down. There are some people that are androgynous,
but if your
who
eyes
are men, like I'd fuck David Bowie in some situation.
Yeah,
I'd have a hard. I might need Iman to also be there to get me revved up. But I feel like then from that point on, I think I could just slide around with David Bowie.
There was someone the other day who I was thinking, I can't lie to myself. I would kiss this man,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember who it was. So it obviously can't be that strong of an inclination. It might have been
just a stranger on the street, or was
no,
it a celebrity?
It was a celebrity. It was a celebrity man that I was like, I just got to acknowledge to myself that I'm okay with this. But now I can't remember who it was. It might have been. I mean, I watched the Wolverine movie the other night.
Was it huge?
I don't know if it was huge or not.
Jackman.
He really, but that is like confusing to me because I don't know if I just want to hang out with Wolverine.
Right. And you're like, if we were hanging out having fun and drinking scotch and he kissed me, I'd be like, let's continue hanging out.
Yeah, totally.
Or if it was actually an attraction. See, for me, I think it would have to go, I guess I'm on the spectrum of the dainty because I feel like someone, Alan Cummings just came into my mind for some reason.
Yeah.
But someone who's like kind of like party boy, sloppy, and like a little effeminate at times, I'd be like, maybe if like we just started making out, I'd be like, yeah, all right, we're partying.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah, because the masculine dude for me, I'm kind of a hairy masculine dude. I think like chest hair on chest hair doesn't excite me.
No, that's a whole different world.
It is.
That excites me.
Mm.
Alan Cumming pet my dog the other day.
Did he?
He did, yeah.
Did you slip him my number?
I will next time.
All right.
He was way into my dog. We were in a bagel shop, and he was online in front of me, so he got his bagel, and then he went outside, and he was outside petting my dog, and I was, like, eager to get outside just to meet, to, like, be like, that's my dog, and take credit for having a cute dog, because he was really, like, all about him. But he took off.
I saw him once on Houston Street, and he was wearing a tiny bright colored backpack, and he had three buns on his head, and he was sucking on a lollipop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you just are the character from your movies.
Do you know about his line of beauty products and stuff?
No.
What?
So he has a line. I don't know if it's still.
Is it called Becoming?
It's better than that.
No.
So he has a shampoo. He has
I'm so proud of that.
I know. Wait. He has a shampoo that's called Coming in Your Hair. He has. He has a moisturizer called Coming on Your Face. Etc. Etc. Every beauty product you can
it's
think
just
of.
Just coming all over you.
Toothpaste.
Well, that just made me like
coming
maybe want to fuck him.
Coming on your teeth.
Love
brush.
It.
Brush.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely want to fuck him. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, just have confidence in your.
Yeah. Let him go, Kendall.
There we go. This next one, it was emailed to us at menageatrois.radio@gmail.com. This comes from Gregory right here in New York City. Right here in this room, I think, actually, somewhere.
Gregory?
The other night, I drunkenly hooked up with this homeless chick who was always near my apartment. Now she's always outside. I feel so guilty. Do I have to move? Well, I mean, I don't move.
Yeah, dude, don't move. Unless she could go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll follow you. Yeah.
She'll be there.
You just hooked up with a poltergeist, my man.
That is such an interesting problem, though, because there is, like, double guilt. There's the guilt of, like, it's almost like a prostitution thing where you feel like you have to pay for having, like, been shown kindness because this person has so little.
Yeah.
I think you should move.
Right. Do you Greg, let me, his name's Greg, is that right?
Gregory, yeah.
Gregory, let me ask you, I mean, I know you can't answer, but into the ether.
I'll be Gregory.
Do you love her, do you like her because she's homeless or in spite of it?
That is a very interesting distinction.
Because
to make.
Once you clear that up, you'll know what,
you have, your
what
answer.
You have to do.
It's like Lady and the Tramp, but reversed.
Yeah, Tramp and the Man.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is tough.
I love the idea of him bringing home a different girl, like a normal non-homeless person, and seeing her and that interaction being like, that's
being
insane.
Awkward. Yeah, because how do you...
She's like, what does she have that I don't have? A house?
Yeah.
Well, this is, I mean...
She has clothes and shoes.
Yeah, it's terrible.
This is also a kind of a heightened version of... my old apartment in Crown Heights, there were two gentlemen that would always hang out at the bodega right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the give a mouse a cookie situation where then they'll just ask for what's that children's series? What did the mouse ask for? Then a glass of milk, and then you give them a glass of milk.
Uh-huh.
So it's the idea that you're just like, look, I can only give you. I see you every day. Like occasionally, whenever I've changed my pocket, if I have something, I'll toss it to somebody. Whatever.
Yeah.
But if it's the same person over and over again, you then just become. It's almost as if you're adopting.
I had that.
A homeless.
I had that too. I had that with a guy who. Would pass him outside a deli. I would pass him a couple times. Mm-hmm. I had one conversation with him about music, gave him $5.
Yep.
And every time I saw him, we had like a conversation that then became a little too time consuming because it's when it's right near where you live. Sometimes you're trying to leave where you live. And then one day, the straw that broke the camel's back, and I hate these kinds of stories because they all sound like middle class angst, like when people are like, oh, that homeless guy, he really lives on Park Avenue. And it's no, he doesn't.
He definitely doesn't.
The sheer amount of change you would need to get to really have
to move into Park. I know. Isn't that always the...
And then why would you want to maintain an air of homelessness?
Coinstar.
Yeah, there's no reason
exactly
to do that.
Right. You're a Coinstar celeb. Mm-hmm.
That's something that
but
people tell themselves.
But I heard him on the phone one day calling in a stock sell. And
I
was blown away. Like, and I overheard it in a Seinfeldian episode where I was just like, he's calling in. He's definitely talking to a broker right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he was goofing.
Yeah.
Even if he was just like, I'm going to be a homeless guy talking to my stockbroker.
Right.
Like,
he's still
that's
committed
adorable.
To it. Yeah.
And I was like, we're done, Tony.
That's
Tony,
it.
I will not. Tony, you and I are done.
That's like the joke. I went to Boulder for college, and there were all these people we called Trustafarians.
Yeah,
it's like the same kind of cliche, but they'd be like, you got a dollar, man. You're like, sorry. And then they're like, beep, beep, and get in their Land
Lexus
Rover
and go on fish
away.
Tour.
Yeah, and
totally.
You're just like, but that was a thing.
Yeah.
But I would never like apply that to the homeless of New York.
No, that's a real actual thing.
I was very fortunate. This woman was not outside of my apartment, but I was jerked off on a subway platform by a homeless woman once and paid her. It was the only time I've ever had had even anything close to a prostitution exchange. And I was in a sad place, and the whole affair was very just disgusting and terrible. But
how much did you pay her?
I think it was like $12, $17. I had. I remember in my wallet, I had a $100
stop
bill.
What train?
And then I had, this was when I was.
Where do we go?
Where
here's
was
where
this?
She
just,
is.
I mean, I don't know.
This was on the 4-5 line when I was living in Crown Heights, and it was 3:30 in the morning. I was very drunk. Started talking to this woman. She was clearly asking me for money the entire time, and I gave her some change.
Right.
And then we got off, and we started talking about Spike Lee movies, and we connected on some level. And she just kept rubbing up against me, getting closer to me. And as people kept getting off stop by stop, we're going deeper into Brooklyn. And then I missed my stop after this conversation and realized, oh, fuck, I got it. So I got off, crossed the platform. She followed me.
Right.
And then there was this, what was her thing? Let me rock you. It was like, let me rub you. It was like something. And she was like grinding her crotch up against me. And she's like, just give me it. And it was just a full on. So I felt kind of bad just being like, just get away. And I'm looking in my wallet and I'm like, well, I'll pay. She reaches down in my pants. I never got aroused. I was never even fully erect. Sure. She was just fiddling around with my genitals, my just sloppy noodle genitals. and there were some people, it was late night, but there were still a few people around.
Yeah.
So it was just a really, really, and then she starts trying to kiss me and I'm saying, no, this is not at all what is.
I'm picturing Risky Business in my head.
This is, I slid down the subway platform in my tidy whites.
No, do you know the scene where he and Rebecca, they get with on the train and she's, but it wasn't Rebecca
it
DeMornay.
It was not DeMornay, unfortunately. I may have been able to sustain some kind of erection.
I'm trying to think if that were reversed, like if a man like, rubbed up against me and
instantly
like, jammed
rape,
his hand into my pants.
Yeah,
which is shitty because like I wish I could have that kind of fun interaction.
Yeah. And then the worst part about it for me.
Now I'm in this
please give me
relationship.
That. Totally. No, where are the men just jamming their hands in my pants? But the
more
worst
men.
Part about it was my I actually felt the need to defend my ego and my manhood where she started laughing because I couldn't get hard. So she's just fumbling around for a few minutes and like, and I'm like, this is not going to happen.
Right.
So then she laughs and takes her hand in my pants and I got defensive and was like,
yeah.
Listen, I'm like drunk. It's the situation. We're in public. Like this is not, and I'm like, why am I arguing?
That's the saddest place to be like yelling at her.
So I just handed her money and walked away and got on the train and that was that.
That's awesome.
Gregory, hand her some money.
Yeah. Just give her money and send her on her way. Whew. What do we have here?
Our third and final question comes to us from @LadyLoretta via our Twitter account, which is menageradio.com. I mean, @menageradio. Guys, I'm like wasted. Okay. why aren't there more services for mail away husbands? I need one.
Mm. Ooh. Yeah, why aren't there?
Why aren't there?
That's a great question.
Sure.
Well, in that's it. No
like,
answer.
I couldn't agree
Stumped,
more.
Yeah.
Well,
retweet.
I think. I guess that that men. I think in the countries that generally offer up mail order brides, the men are better off than the women.
Yeah. Is the suggestion that like the even or like the archetype of like a submissive like it's like a.
Mm-hmm.
Women that are looking to get in that scenario, even although there must be a phenomenon of women looking to get in that scenario and then get out.
Yeah.
Because if you get to the States and you have a guy sugar daddying you and then you realize like, oh, this is okay. But if you're attractive,
you're looking at a better deal.
I think you have to wait.
You can upsell.
I've heard about this. You wait a certain number of years and then your green card still stands even after
right.
divorce. And that's the safest way to do it. So you're still documented.
Citizenship.
But I think you're absolutely right that a lot of people just do it to like better their situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I would actually think that similar would be true. I know women have it worse in impoverished countries for sure, but that men would definitely want to get into the U.S. and there would be like maybe older, rich
ladies.
Women who aren't meeting who they want to meet. I would actually think that this could be a thing.
Yeah. A cougar stud farm.
Right.
Kind of scenario.
Yeah. Well,
we've got our website.
Like, I brought
cougarstudfarm.com.
Like, bringing like hot Mexican men up who are like 20 years old. You know, these like older women. I can totally picture that.
Yeah.
It's probably a thing, just not as widely discussed.
Yeah. Probably not as widely. So here's the thing.
The pool boy vibe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So just Google poolboys.com. Ah, those questions were actually really, really good.
I feel like we helped
questions.
A lot of people.
I think
people.
We helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now we have a few questions for our guest, Mr. Matthew Urbano. These are going to be 6 rapid-fire sex questions.
Okay.
Called 6 sextions, and we need you to answer just as quickly as you can.
Got it.
All right. Number one, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
10,000.
Matt Urbano, what's the sexiest animal?
Kangaroo.
Who is your number one celebrity crush?
ScarJo.
Matt, what's the best song to have sex to?
Anything by D'Angelo.
Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
A bed.
And finally, what is the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Fun, laughing, fun.
Yes. Yeah. Six Actions with Matt Rubano. Here's the thing. Kangaroo's the first time we've ever had that answer.
Really?
No one wants to get in the marsupial pouch.
Wait, is it the bouncing or the pouch?
Balls deep in the pouch.
I think subliminally it was the pouch.
Yes.
It was the pouch.
Just another fun orifice to
get
mess
your
around
dick
with.
Wet in that sweet, gooey pouch.
Yeah. I've spooned a kangaroo before.
No.
Literally, yeah.
What?
I went to a kangaroo farm.
Big spoon like a or pet, little like, spoon?
I was big spoon.
Nice. Ooh.
Yeah, they'll let you. But I had two kangaroo experiences, like going to a kangaroo, like a petting zoo, like a koala and kangaroo experience for like
marsupial party.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in Melbourne. And once we went, and it was a beautiful summer day, and there were like probably 100 kangaroos in like a fenced in gigantic like pen, and they were really they were like really laid back and just kind of like you could approach them and feed them and stuff. And we have all these pictures of us like spooning kangaroos, like laying on the ground, like just laying behind
a kangaroo. Any pouch action?
Just in full on Burt Reynolds pose.
I wouldn't go reaching for the pouch. I mean,
yeah, not without
I want
consent.
To. Do I want to? Sure. Would I? I don't know. Because that's like a sacred place.
What's funny about kangaroos now that I've never had sexual thoughts about kangaroos, but I'm glad I'm putting myself there because I think that they are kind of human, but in weird ways. Because like you look at
they're upright.
They're upright, but they also, maybe it's just that they force them to box. Maybe that's what makes me think about them. Because they have these like qualities, not as much as our primate cousins, but they have these. There's something human, like they, I mean, the dog face, but there's something about like their actions, their bodies are moving, they, like rest on their tail. They do shit that somehow their
I know
emotions.
What you
I don't know. There's something that's there
to
that's human to me.
Anthropomorphize them.
Yeah.
Just put enough makeup on a kangaroo.
Yeah, and just fuck its pouch.
Enough eye makeup.
Fuck its pouch.
A dark eyeliner.
No,
little lube in the pouch, and you're good to go.
Well, it's exotic.
Yeah.
Bouncing up and down is obviously
everybody loves
sexy.
An Aussie.
Yeah. The second, oddly though, the second time we went to the same place years later, there were a tenth as many kangaroos, which was very confusing to me. At like a zoo. It's like if you went to the zoo and it was like mostly empty cages.
Oh no!
They died from spooning.
Well, they were like all also huddled into like a one corner of the park. So when we got in there, we were like, we're all our buddies. Then we went over to where they were and started to like offer them food, and they hopped up like raptors and were like
angry.
They were pissed, and then we turned to walk away, and one of them took like a giant leap towards us.
Was
and
this 28
you.
Days later?
We started running. This was 28 days later. It started
zombie
in Australia.
Cam. Zombie roo.
We started run. We have it all on like a little handy cam.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
It's just us running to get out of the pen. So
playing hard to get that time.
Yeah.
Well, there's. I think there's also. I've noticed. Correct me if I'm wrong. I've noticed a little bit of Australian thread with you. So if your fantasy ultimately is Hugh Jackman voicing a kangaroo.
Totally.
That you can spoon with.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Cool.
That would be great
that's
for me. Great.
Yeah,
it's kind of a gay bestiality.
Hey, you know.
I don't want to label you.
You guys are opening me up to day drinking, bestiality, gay tendencies.
Love
it's
it.
Fine.
Also, ScarJo is one of my tops of all time as well. I mean, it's hard to not think that woman's sexy.
Yeah, she got something going on. I don't know.
Lips, hips, tits, and ass.
Yeah, right.
Those are the four things.
What's the number one ScarJo?
And the voice. She's got a great voice.
The number one ScarJo.
Is it like a Lost in Translation or like a Match Point?
Match Point, I would think, right? I mean, that's the one. Match Point or Avengers.
Or The Horse Whisperer.
Didn't see that.
She was too young.
She had a child in that?
Yeah.
Oh, Ghost Town?
But at least
that?
You have that.
I
at
have
least you have that to go back
to. That's filed
to.
Away.
What's the ghost one?
Ghost.
It was that indie film. It was like her breakout. She was really young and she was with another girl. Ghost World.
Ghost World.
I said Ghost Town.
She was old enough.
With Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, she's great.
Can I say something quickly about her?
Yeah.
Please.
Some of my friends went to a high school here in New York, and they partied with her a little bit, uh-huh. and mm. they know a few guys who got with her.
Oh.
But she, when she was like young, I mean, yeah. you know,
my favorite
just a regular back person on anything specific.
Yeah, I wish. I mean, this is like through friends of friends, sure, of friends sure, sure. but I think like gives good head.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go on the record. How could and you say, not? ScarJo gives good head.
How could she
head.
Not? With those,
yeah, that. I have never sucked a dick, but if I was able to borrow ScarJo's lips for one night, I think I could at least be serviceable.
Yeah.
Oh my God, think. How could you?
And also, yeah, my favorite sex story about her is, and this is just who the hell knows with this wild speculation, but that she had sex with she liked the older men for a while, and she had sex in an elevator with Benicio del Toro.
Wow.
That was something I heard. And Benicio's
at the Chateau Marmont.
Son of a gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were there, weren't we?
That's yeah, we were.
Awesome. Benicio.
We heard it. The only reason I say I heard it, we heard it through the elevator. We missed the elevator, and as the doors were closing, we heard those two fucking in the elevator. Well, here's another PC. I don't know, ScarJo and Benicio, maybe a PC. But here's another one we want to discuss in our PC spotlight, which is our power couple.
Oh,
the week.
You know her. What does this say? SNL darling turned Hollywood player.
You know him, Brazilian-born indie drummer from The Strokes. We're talking about Kristen Wiig.
And Fabrizio Moretti.
Aw, that's cute.
On again, off again. I mean, they're back, from what I understand.
Huh.
According to the rags, they're yeah. back.
We grabbed a few rags on the way over
I
here.
Love this couple. The comedy yep. meets musician. It's very sexy.
It is sexy.
I feel like I've seen... There's a bar that I go to sometimes that he's occasionally at and
go.
She's occasionally at.
Mm. Obviously, they're dating then.
Yeah.
I mean.
But I mean, I'm trying to think if I've seen them there because I've seen right. both of them at this place, but not, I don't know if at the same time. But I love that idea.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
They've been on again, off again for like.
Who was he
eight
with
years.
Before?
Drew Barrymore, I think.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And
Drew Barrymore has been for me the longest.
Firestarter was yeah. the hottest role.
Yes. E.T. Gertie.
The Strokes are like the sexual Ellis Island of like New York, of like models and actresses, and like
yeah.
it's like a 6 degrees of their dicks.
It's true.
Six strokes away. Everyone is.
Yeah.
This guy, like I was reading his bio this morning, nothing could be sexier sounding. His like Italian dad and his Brazilian mom. He's
right.
born in Brazil and then comes to New York.
Playing
and, like,
drums.
Goes to art school and yeah. is in this awesome band.
He's like, hard all the time.
Fabrizio, never lose. He's got a lifelong priapism.
Yeah.
He's very sexy.
Yeah, he is. He is
and
definitely
so is
sexy.
Kristen.
And Kristen Wiig is, I mean, ooh. She's, yeah, she, you know, she was, everybody loved her on SNL. She's one of the
yeah.
darling cast members. And then she kind of went on and is now doing her own thing, making movies, doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that totally makes, she definitely seems like someone who, and this is just, you know, I've never met her, but it's some people you just feel like either they're great actors, but I don't know that that's the thing with her, but she just seems so fun to be around and charming.
It's like I said in my six questions, that's like a huge thing. If you respond to like the fun and funny and maybe mm-hmm. even a little weird and a dash of crazy.
For sure.
That's the I mean, you can take all the
hot.
Just
a dash of crazy.
Just a little dash. Everybody's got a different dash.
Mm-hmm.
But you could take all the hot in the world and pile it on the other side of the scale and it just doesn't do it.
That's right.
Yeah, and this is definitely a PC because they're both so awesome in their own kind of genre.
Yeah, and comedy and music
so they're coming together.
Together.
Yeah.
Comedy and music
oh
definitely.
I also
together.
Like that neither of them would be because the tabloids will try to do that thing, but they're not like it's not the same as like leading actor and actress couple because
mm-hmm.
no. they're both in like a little bit of a subdued fame
kind of a niche.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah they kind of both have that indie feel,
yeah.
even though she's like writing. And starring in Bridesmaids and
yeah.
he's in like one of the biggest bands, they have that kind of like
well, and those,
off-center thing going
right,
on.
Right, and mm-hmm. I think those relationships feel a little more genuine because sometimes, you know, you get two huge, I mean, I don't know, I'll pull one. I said Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. I'm like, what the hell year is it?
Time
is but yeah, but like people like that or you get your Kardashians and your Kanyes, those kind of couplings.
I think there's just one of those.
Yeah. You got those Kanyes out there yeah. and your Kardashians.
Numerous Kanyes.
Yeah, pick a Kardashian. But
Jesus
yeah,
Christ. One, what are you talking about? I felt good about that.
Yeah.
But those power couplings seem more like, you know, a little PR related, a little force.
Sure.
When you see people like this, is probably they met in that bar that you're
they
referencing.
Like one another, yeah.
And they just said, hey, you know what? I dig your vibe. I like the cut of your jib. Let's
yeah.
get together. Let's fuck.
He's like, baby, do Penelope for me. Come on, do it.
She says,
just
get
do
that
it.
Drum line going
just,
for me.
Yeah, come on.
That's so funny. I was picturing Gilly.
Yeah.
Which is like the least sexy. You
yeah.
know, and she's
Penelope's
like,
Penelope's pretty
sorry.
Unsexy, too.
Or the little armed.
That's Penelope.
That's Penelope.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so I mean, that's amazing
yes.
that those two are getting together and, you know.
Hey, we salute you.
Salute.
Have babies.
Salute. Have babies, for sure. They'll be funny, great musicians. That's how genetics works. So now what we want to do is let's just say in this virtual sugar. Mm-hmm. Taylor Moore, we're all over the map.
These are just fragments of
sentences.
We're
all over the map. They're not even real
thoughts. Are we signing on to AOL right now?
Yes, we are. This is a dial-up connection on these mics.
This is actually a scheme to get you involved.
Yes. Okay. So what we have here is we take a real OkCupid profile, the very popular dating website, mm-hmm. OkCupid. So we've pulled from there and we say, what is Matt Rubano like? We speculated a little bit and we came up with a profile that we thought would fit you.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is take a real OkCupid profile and take you on an improvised date.
Okay. With this mystery You're yourself. Woman.
Okay, I'm me.
Your handsome old charming self. Mm-hmm.
And I'll be playing Staten Island Siren, which is a profile we
That's what we
online.
Think we know about you.
Right? That's amazing.
The date is going to be, this was Staten Island Siren's choice, TGIF's in Times Square.
Oh, wow.
TGI Fridays. Okay.
Okay.
And I'll play any ancillary characters that may come up.
Okay, good.
And the date begins now.
Okay.
Hi, Matt.
Hey. Hi.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you.
Nice
finally.
To meet you.
I've never been good. Here. Thank you. You look great. You look it's interesting the way you've dressed up.
Oh my God. I picked purple for tonight. Yeah. So I'm just going all purple.
Good. Table for two ready. Table for Gorkas. Gorkas.
This is me.
That's your last name? What
Gorkas,
sort
yeah.
of last name is that?
My mom's a Ruffalo, but my dad was a Gorkas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I can't believe you've never been here. It's literally the best restaurant in New York. I come over from Staten Island, and I always go here.
Oh, that's, yeah. No, I mean, I probably would have chosen someplace a little bit further downtown or something. I don't know. Fridays, this will be great. I usually go here.
I'm sorry if you don't like it.
No, let's do it. I mean, you look, it's great. This
hey, y'all. Excuse me, I'm on antibiotics. Welcome to TGI Fridays.
Gross. That's disgusting.
I'm sorry, I'm ill.
No, I'm sorry. Can you turn around and come back to us and talk to us, like, respectfully?
Yes, I will, because...
I'm so sorry about this.
No, you're right. You deserve...
Hey, y'all. Welcome to TGI Fridays. Can I get you started with drinks?
Yeah, I'll have the purple appletini.
Yes. Appletini with a dash of purple for
all
the
right.
gentleman.
You're really going through with it. I'll have whatever the oldest scotch you guys have is.
The oldest scotch at Ew. TGI Fridays is probably just some bottle of Johnny Walker Red.
That's fine. I'll have a double.
Great.
Wait,
why
are you ordering an old drink?
Well, it's a tastier kind of thing. Scotch, if it's aged, it tends to taste a little bit better.
Honestly, I left something out once. I think it was like some kind of vodka thing I made, and it like went bad, but I didn't
Uh-oh.
Know it.
Uh-oh.
And then my cousin came over, Dorita, and she vomited.
Your cousin's name is Dorita?
Yeah, it's like Dorito, but with an A.
Female, yeah.
A-H at the end.
That's pretty.
Yeah. Dorita actually is dead now.
Oh.
Rest in peace, Dorita.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's like was this terrible thing while she got caught between two bumper cars over at Coney Island.
That always happens.
Am I right? Do you know people that's happened to?
That happened to my friend Benny.
Oh my God, we have so much in common.
Oh my God, this is working out.
Here you go, the double Johnny Walker for the gent and a purple teeny for the lady.
Thank you.
Can I get you any started on any apps?
I'm actually not eating this week.
Oh.
No food? Okay.
Are you on a cleanse or a diet or something?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I could barely fit into these spandex.
Yeah. They're extremely tight. Okay. Okay.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Anything?
Maybe you should have something to eat.
No, thank you.
All right.
Anything from any starters for you, sir?
Yeah. I'll have the app mixer. The
yeah,
appetizer,
I'll throw
what's that called? The jumbler?
That's called the jumbler.
I'll have that.
It includes Moz sticks,
yep.
Three chicken tenders.
Potato skins.
The skins with the bacon and the...
We don't need you to read the menu to us, okay? He knows what he wants.
I don't need to read the menu to you because you're not eating. Just drinking.
Jesus.
Hey, she's a Gorkas, so just calm down.
You're a Gorkas?
That's what. Yeah. How you said it, right? Gorkas?
Yeah, Gorkas.
You know my cousin Leb?
Lab used to date Dorita Gorkis, who's my cousin.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me right now?
Get
God.
Out of here.
Oh my God. Stop you guys, I feel like you two have a connection.
This world is tiny.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your favorite color?
Purple.
Oh my God. Honestly, I'm so sorry, Matt. You're the sweetest, but yeah, this is not working.
Can we get a check?
I'll get you the check and I'll put the jumbler in a box.
To go. That would be great.
Hey, wait, sure. I want to jumble your balls in my mouth.
Oh my God. Well, I'm on the homosexual end of the spectrum, but I will say this. I'm willing to experiment. Wow. Is that the first time we ended up together? There's a lot of firsts
at the end
of
the
day. Firsts on
We've
that.
Had some really successful dates lately, but that
in retrospect, I would probably have been I would like to have taken a lot more aggressive stance and maybe tried to get you into the bathroom for pre-appetizer, at least a rub down.
Pre-app rub down.
I think there was a cutout crotch component.
I was, you know what? It's funny that you say that because I was thinking this person has a visible camel toe.
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
No, you were like, those are so tight.
Those are really, like, really tight.
I can see as we were being seated.
It's like a pube cactus coming through there.
The purple pulsating.
I can count the pubes.
Yeah.
Have you been to the TGI Fridays in Times Square?
It's funny that I was saying the other day that my cousin was visiting for Thanksgiving and he's living in Japan right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I went there, the first day like that I arrived on like a Saturday night, and the people I was with were like terrified to go out into the city, just because it's like jarring. You can't read, you can't speak. And we went to a Fridays in like Shibuya Square in Tokyo on a Saturday night. It was no joke, the best like Fridays I have ever been to in my life, both service, quality of food. They sang a birthday song
the
that
Japanese.
Was dope.
Well, if you're gonna go to one, you go in Japan.
You go in Japan. In Times
you ate that awful food, had to take a terrible shit, but had a bidet to treat you in the Japanese toilet. But yeah, I think that's what hurts me about, like, TGI Fridays makes sense to me to do in somewhere in southeastern Ohio.
Yeah,
but when you're in New York and you're that close, it's just a train. Hop on a train, and in 10 minutes, you can get to an amazing restaurant.
Easily.
But yet, you're messing around.
It's comfort.
It is comfort. It's, you know, like, what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Times Square has yelp become a comfort zone for people not
Idiots.
From New York. Yeah.
That makes me sad.
That does make me kind of sad.
Square.
Old Times Square was like a cum-drenched, disgusting shithole.
Mess.
You know what else
Fuck
makes
you, Giuliani.
Me sad.
You ruined it for all of us.
Yeah.
Giuliani makes me sad.
Giuliani
you
makes
fucked
me
it
sad.
Up. And I'm sad that we have to say goodbye to Matt Rubano.
Oh, we can't hang with him all night.
I did it. I did it.
Yeah, I knew you got to get your hands in that bell at some point.
It looks like a boob.
Well, listen, we got tip bells here. The All-American Rejects are on tour. Check out MattRubano.com to find out when that's happening.
Can people tweet at you at Matthew Rubano?
Please do.
Please do
it, y'all.
Tweet
Follow
me
him.
Anything.
Tweet at him.
Yeah.
Tweet all sorts of shit.
Tweet at us at Menaj Radio. We want to thank our lovely producer, Taylor Moore.
Tweet at us at Menaj Radio. Never mind. Thank our producer is what I was going to say. Tweet us and thank Taylor Moore.
Wow. Okay. Email us at menageatoiradio@gmail.com and check us out online at menageatoiradio.com. Holler.
Holler.
Get in that sweet pouch.
Marsupial sex is the best sex.
I love scotch.
I love ScarJo too.
Lips, hips, tips. An ass and the voice of a raspy angel.
The color purple
and
can mean so many things.
Appetizer sampler. Jumble that shit in a to-go box.
Sensual jams provided by French Horn Rebellion. Hear more at FrenchHornRebellion.com. Ooh.